Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta, host of Repurposed. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast.
You want to relate to your peers. It's like a match.com, you know. I want to match up to someone like me that made it. Myself that's made it, all the crack addicts I grew up with or that I was with, they've all quit. I was their example.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, of intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach true wealth. If you want more information on Taegis Financial, just go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurpose, I'm really excited to be bringing you an interview with Mike Lindell. He's the CEO and inventor of MyPillow. He's the MyPillow guy. You've probably seen Mike and his MyPillow stores in the mall, maybe on infomercials on television. He's been a regular on QVC for years. Mike is literally everywhere. I was so excited not only to get Mike on the show, but he invited me to his headquarters in Chaska, Minnesota, where we had what I would call a very spirited chat. He has quite the story. That would be an understatement. He struggled with addiction to alcohol and crack cocaine for years, dating all the way back to the 1980s. And even after starting MyPillow in 2004, he was a heavy crack cocaine user. Today, I'm happy to report that Mike is sober. He has a thriving business, and he's got one of the biggest platforms in the country right now. And here's what's coolest of all. He uses that platform to, yes, sell pillows, but it's much bigger than that to Mike. He's using his platform to help people that don't have hope, people that are struggling or have struggled with addiction just like he used to. In this interview, you're going to hear Mike talk about his faith and how he now lives to impact others. Here's my chat with Mike Lindell. First, let's talk about MyPillow. You got two factories, 1,600 employees. Did you ever think you'd be here?
Well, actually, I did. My mind would go there and imagine this, you know, big. But this, it is surreal. Don't get me wrong. But I always had big aspirations, you know, and I knew God had a big plan, and that was going to be a big. The pillow was just a platform for something much bigger. So I did imagine that would be. But you know, it's so rewarding to be my corporate office where I grew up, my hometown Chaska, and then Shakopee, 400,000 square feet of manufacturing. I walk in there some days. I go, now that part, you know, from a little garage, it is hard to imagine.
When did you said that you knew that God had this for you? Like you got big plans. When did that start to really manifest? I know you had the dream. I heard that story, but when did you really start to feel like this is?
Well,
this is gonna be
big? I've had this. All through the 2000s, you know, when all the adversity I faced and I would be on crack, you know, I was a crack cocaine addict and we'd be smoking crack or cocaine or alcohol, whatever. I had little bars at that time, small bars in Carver County. I would be telling guys we'd be doing it and I'd be saying, hey, this is bad. I'd be telling them stuff in Revelation from when I've been in jail in the Bible, you know, end times. They would quit that night. And I'm going, what did I say? You know, but I would be talking about this platform. I said, you know, you guys, I know I'm going to be, I see myself someday quitting and, you know, but this is before my pillow, long before, but I would tell people this stuff back then. So I kind of knew back then, but then when I got my pillow, it got up to like 2008. It really hit me in 2008 where, I had people call in the middle of the night. I'd been on this little public access channel here in the city's Channel 6. And I just went in there one time. I was actually meeting my drug dealer downtown, and she said, can you stop in? I hadn't got the drugs yet. And she goes, could you come on our show? And I said, no. And I had a fear of rejection. I couldn't talk to people without drugs, you know. Huh. And you can't get rejected if you don't talk, right?
Right.
And so I was very shy back in the day. I'd either show up one extreme or the other. But I went in this public access channel, and the people that knew me said, wow, you didn't have any drugs. And the people that didn't know me said, what, were you on drugs? Because I was all over the board. And anyway, they played this in the middle of the night. I lost, you know, everything was going down, 2008, and I lost a 20-year marriage. I was living by myself, losing everything. And in the early 2008, get these calls, and this lady calls up about 6:30 at night, and I'm all by myself. I answer the phone. She says, You know, I seen you on Channel 6. This lady kept running this once in a while, and she said, I'm not buying a pill. Are you the guy in there? And I said, yeah. She goes, but I want to pray with you. God has something that's so big for you that you shouldn't give up. So I prayed with her. You know, I put it on mute, doing my cocaine or whatever. And 2 hours later, I get another call, another lady. She says, yeah, I've seen you on Channel 6. She said, God's called me to pray with you that what you're doing is so important. And it's a platform. And I kept hearing this word platform. And then now I prayed with her about an hour. About 3 in the morning, I get a call because I'm going to be up all night anyway, the way I was back then. And they, and this guy calls up. He says, are you that guy on Channel 6? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I don't believe in God, and I had this dream. I keep getting these dreams. I'm supposed to call you and say, what you're doing is important to God, and I hope my dreams stop now. And he slams the phone down.
No kidding.
And then at 7:30 in the morning, I get the last call, and she says, and I said, you're not buying a pill. You want to pray, right? She goes, how did you know? And so this happened. Okay. And I got the name of these people. They're going to be in my book, you know, when it comes out. But so that happened. And then about a week later, the three of the biggest drug dealers in the cities, all of a sudden there they all three are. I go, what are you guys doing? It was an intervention. I was up for 14 days and they wanted me, they're saying, you're not buying anymore from anybody in the streets or whatnot. The one guy leaves, he goes, he's not getting any from my guys. And I'm looking over and finally he went, he says, how much you have left? I had a couple crack rocks left. So he's going to wait me out. And I waited him out. He fell asleep and I headed down to the streets and I couldn't get anything. People are going for, you know, I'm trying $100 for $5 worth. And I felt defeated. I'm going to go further out, you know. My buddy, they've interviewed, he's a Christian, works for me now, and he's told this story to my book writer. He says, I see, how did you get everyone to believe? He said, oh, he says, some white guy with a mustache, don't sell me. So I get back up there and he's waiting for me in the chair and he says, he knew I didn't get anything. And he says, give me your phone. I'm taking a picture of this. He says, you told us you're going to have a book someday and that you got this big platform and that you're going to come back and help us. And he says, you're our hope.
Wow.
And because I would always tell these drug dealers, everyone, I'd say, you know, God's got a big calling for me. So in 2008, then my sister calls up. This all happened in about a month.
Yeah.
She calls up. She says, you better start. I'm standing in front of semis and thinking, that window's going to close. God's going to choose someone else. Now that hit home because I was going, okay, here I am. I got all these addictions, which is this masking pain from childhood or whatever. That's where it usually comes from.
Yeah.
Trauma or whatever. Mine was a divorce. Divorces weren't common back then. Yeah. And here, my sister calls up and she goes, you know, God's got a big call. And I knew that. Well, I'm going, okay, he's got this big calling. I can wait on my own time and keep doing the drugs because it sounded horrible. I'm going to quit everything. And then I got this big responsibility of this platform. Yeah. You know,
that's crazy. So, where did the faith thing start? Was that before all the addiction, or where was that seed planted?
You know, I guess seeds were planted way back in my youth, you know, and I had all kinds of questions in my head, you know. Okay, one of the ones is that, you know, what is it going to be, boring? You know, I would think about trying to imagine heaven. I'd try and imagine all these things even as a teenager. But I had some seeds planted, a lot of seeds planted back then. And one of the things that happened in 2008, which was in December of 2008, my friend came to me that he was the first guy I ever did cocaine with. And he also, at first, we had both switched to crack cocaine. Now, he was my age. Everything was the same. But he had been clean and found Jesus for 3 years. So what he did, I go, Dick, what are you doing? He comes in, he goes, Lord led me out here. And I go, well, you know what? As long as you're here, I got questions. So him being, no one else could have came out there, you know, that I would have respected their answers because you're,
right.
You know, and that's where my network is going now to get people close to you that are close to your age and demographics where you've seen their stories of hope. But anyway, so all those seeds were planted. Well, then a month later, I said, okay, God, it was January 16, 2009. And I said, all right, I 100% knew one more day that window was closing. You know, you talk about a bottom. I don't know. I didn't have a money bottom or whatever, but I also knew part of my drive there is, okay, this is going to be the greatest comeback ever with God. All things are possible wow, this is his platform he's put me on. But I'm making a deal with him. I said, okay, if I do this platform thing, I want to wake up in the morning and never have the desire again for the drugs. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I'm going to surrender to him. I wake up in the morning and the desire is gone. Okay. I mean, it's gone. Okay. Now, a couple months later, I did go to my church. It was called Living Free. They had a treatment center. There was an outpatient thing. But I went there, and I told the instructor, I quit crack. I said, I got this big call. I'm going to have a book someday, the biggest foundation, the biggest company ever, but that's a platform for God. It's going to bring, I'm going to be this, you know. And he went home and told his wife, he said, this guy came in, he must be higher than a kite, you know. but miracles started happening then. Yeah. And I'm going like a week later, I had to borrow $30,000 from people I didn't even know. And I'm telling this story, you know, and I got freed of the thing where I could at least talk, my fear of rejection. And, you know, God guided that. Well, I walked in these 8 suits, and they're all, and they scared me. We had a COO, a CIEIO, all these C's.
Because you needed money for this company.
I needed money because these guys were stealing my company.
Gotcha.
And I didn't know these guys from Adam. So I walk in with a T-shirt on. I need the money within 3 hours, $30,000 cash. And I start telling the story, and I said, I'm going to do shows and home shows over here, and I'm going to pay you back $40,000 for 30. And I used to be a crack cocaine addict and blah, blah, blah. I'm going on. And the one guy goes, well, when did you quit crack? I said, last Thursday. And four of them got up and left the room, and the other four, I said, well, now there's four of you. You're all going to put in $7,500. I just went in there with this unbelievable passion and confidence, and I did get that money. They gave me the money, and it was a miracle.
It was like God had to take that away. He had to take away the addiction to kind of get you out of the way. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a guy who's being kind of scooted along, and God's speaking to you, but he needed to take that away so you could move forward.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I knew I had, but you got to realize, and then some, there's more to this. Then, so at that point, now it took a couple years getting my pillow, it was just grassroots, you know, right. on the ground, you know, doing shows and stuff, but now. I look back now, and you'll see in the book, all these divine things had to happen, all these little miracles. Well, then I finally said, if no one's going to take my pillow, I'm going to bring it right to the people. And we went to do this infomercial. My friends, my kids, we all pooled our money, everything we had left in the world. And I said, you guys, we're going to make the biggest infomercial in history. I've seen it, you know, and I didn't know you don't make money on the front end of an infomercial. You know, nobody told me I couldn't do it. So if you don't know, you can't do it. You know, I'm going to do this. Well, we're going to, and so we go to film this in St. Paul, and the night before, there was a lot of betrayal and stuff that happened up to that, but the night before, this producer guy's there, and we're doing the reads because I wanted to make it real. A real audience, just a friend of mine and myself, like I sold at the shows. I had never been on TV like that before. I'm scared, and I'm going, you know, it's going to be really hard to do. Well, they have these scripts to read, and he texts the other guy. He said, this guy's the worst guy I've ever seen. This will never, ever make it. This is going to be a disaster. And the next day, I had one line to say it, and we started it, 9 takes. We said, throw it away. We threw away the teleprompter. We threw it away, and it was just natural. I did just like I did. And it was we exploded. We went from 5 employees to 540 days.
That's crazy.
And we got so big so fast. And I got complacent, took it for granted, so to speak. Yeah. In 12 and 13, we became, in 12, we took in so much, and I never used a bank, and it was just, you know, we didn't have money, and the bank wouldn't give us money. Well, we got so big in the summer of 2012, we were $6 million in debt. I go, God, I'm going to have to work forever, and I'm going, I'd always pray to God when I was needed help, but I didn't, you know, I'm going, God, help me out of this, you know, and I always would. So I took that for granted. Mm-hmm. Well, then you get up to 2014, we were within 2 days of going under, and I met a gal, this Kendra I'm with now, and she, and I meet her, and she had something different that I didn't have. She had this relationship with Jesus. Hmm. And I'm going, what's going on here? You know, and she goes, no, you don't, you know, and it was just different. And she's praying, and she's having, and I wanted that. Hmm. But the power of prayer and things that happened all of a sudden from 2014, and we had a couple of things. They said, Mike, you need to be in these 1 and 2 minute. We went into that, and my pillow just started exploding. Miracles in my life that happened. All of a sudden, I'm with the President of the United States in a meeting that he reached out to me. There's so many divine things. I'm going, you're talking to a crack addict.
Right.
And now he's in the White House shaking, you know, with the, in a round table. I mean, these things for me, I'm going, wow, this is a miracle. You look in your own life, Mike Brook, what are the odds? You say, okay, this is a one in a million. This is a one in a billion. If you add them together, when do you consider it a miracle? Okay. For me, I had to see these things, not just getting out of things, praying to get out of things, but I had to be, I'm going, wow, Jesus, this is real. You know, these things were happening to me. I'm going, it ain't me. I'm not, you know, this is a miracle. The election was a miracle. The guy's the most amazing guy, you know, that when I met him, I'm going, I went all in. And I, you know, God would show me things, even though I didn't have the relationship, he would show me things and I would follow that on blind, just faith. I'm just, you know, and I would go and went all in for that. Well, it got up to February 18th, 2017. And I went into this retreat thing. It's Operation Restored Warriors. It's a retreat thing. It's a 5-day thing. And I felt God led me. I was one of the few that got to go through it without being a veteran. Yeah. And I go through it. Well, Jesus showed up, and all of a sudden, I'm going, wow! I have what Kendra had, and now I'll tell you what's different since then. I can be proactive. And I can stay in, you know, people say that you, any prayers that go unanswered for people, that might not be God's will. You're praying for something that isn't God's will. You stay in the Word now. If you're in the Word, where's the Word? The Word is God's will. And your prayers have to match the Word. The Word, you know, it's like, okay, I pray that, you know, this is God's will. And these are where we're at now. So now I'm coming in, this platform is coming into the most amazing, God set it up, and now it's just, you know, every day one of my prayers is discernment, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Question, one of my most intriguing questions I want to ask you, what would be your purpose? You're an entrepreneur, business owner, inventor, infomercial guy. Like, if you were to say, what is your underlying purpose?
My purpose, 100%, is when I, because this is what I was always praying for when I met Kendra, I wanted to have as much passion or more passion for Jesus than I had for a pillow. That was it. Oh. And because I can, when people trust me and they believe me, and I'm telling you, Jesus is real. And that's my purpose. The evangelist, I will be, I believe, you know, we just did a thing at U.S. Bank Stadium with where the Super Bowl was, and I was with the Pulse, amazing thing with Nick Hall. And I told my story there, and all these millennials, and there were 8,000 people saved that night.
Awesome.
So there's the calling. To sell Jesus.
Yeah. You get one thing that makes you really unique is that you get a chance to employ hundreds of people that normally couldn't get jobs because they're ex-felons. You talked about your calling being part to reach out to ex-addicts. Talk about that. And how
well, that's all part of it. You know, everybody's got wounds and inside them that come from childhood and traumas and stuff. And I'm actually setting up, it's going to be the most amazing thing. It's called the Lindell Recovery Network. What it is, can you imagine picking your addiction? You go on this website, you'll put your addiction in, what you're addicted to, your age, and all these stories which we're gathering now of hope come down. Mm-hmm. Stories like mine, but these are people there. If I'm a 22-year-old opiate addict, I can't relate to a 50-year-old meth addict in Orange County. You know, or if I'm from Detroit. So the closer you get to them, let's say you're in Alabama, and now you're a 30-year-old, your addiction is heroin. Now you want to see hopes of that come down, like a 30-year-old heroin addict that made it through.
Dang.
And all these, and then you look over the right, and I'm going to have all the help centers, which I'm working with all of them in the country. And guess what? Like the Salvation Army, one of the best treatment centers in history since 1800s, and nobody knows about it. And you get in there, and then, you know what? The addicts that come out of there are just like what I've been doing. The addicts that come out, the Salvation Army employs 50% from within, and they have companies that employ their, because addicts, they're good people, they're just masking pain. Addiction is a lot of work. Yeah. It's more work than a job. You know, it's way more work than a job. There's nothing harder than being addicted and trying. You got to hide it, get it, afford it, steal it, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Everyone out there that's hearing this, is they know that if you're an addict.
Right.
You get help. And then I'm going to do is I'm taking the ones that come through. I'm going to employ the mentors. I'm going to have mentors as they come out of these help places. They're going to be paid mentors. It's going to be, I'm going to be the biggest employer in the country. These are going to be jobs, because when you mentor someone, you're helping yourself too.
Yeah.
And there's no better treatment. I've been through treatment. Where you guys are from, I, back in the day, I was at that treatment center in Wilmer. Yeah, back in the 1980s, you know. And I'm telling you, I've been to these treatment centers. I'm going, I can't relate to them. You can't relate to an instructor that's never been in that never been an addict. You want to relate to your peers. It's like a match.com, you know. I want to match up to someone like me that made it. You know, myself that's made it, all the crack addicts I grew up with or that I was with, they've all quit.
Yeah.
I was their example. They're going, okay, Jesus is real. He's running around now, hanging out with people at the White House, the president, Ben Carter, all these different people. And they're going, he's a crack addict. You know, he's got saved. This is a miracle.
Yeah.
So they're just, they drop like dominoes, you know.
Yeah.
And they, so that's where that's at.
You are an incredibly passionate guy. There's no doubt about that. I've got a thousand questions here. I want to respect your time.
Okay,
for everybody. But the one question
I'll try and be a little shorter.
No, that's okay. That's okay. The one question I always ask my interviewees, and this is the heart behind this podcast. We want people to live with purpose, with intentionality. What is one thing that you would say for even me and the people listening? How can we have more impact on the people around us? What would you say?
To have more impact, I guess it's you really better believe and be of the passion. Passion's where it's at. If you know, and don't have any shame behind it, and don't be afraid. I mean, I went from complete fear of rejection because my self-worth was so bad inside.
Yeah.
And to be able to project that, you got to start with yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to start with yourself. You got to be right there, because people see through anything that's not real.
That's right.
You know, and they see through it. So if you don't sit and you don't get right, you know, where, and then once you are, you can sell anything because you believe in it, you know.
Yeah, well, no doubt you believe in what you're doing. You are making a huge impact on people, your employees, and the world. So thank you for what you are doing. We appreciate that so much. Before we let you go, where can people find you? Where's the best place? By the way, if you're listening to this and haven't heard of MyPillow, you're living under a rock, first of all, because you're everywhere. But where's the best place for people to find you?
I would send people, if you want to, for myself, if you put in my name up, MichaelJLindell.com.
Yeah.
That's going to be, there's amazing stories there. You know, I'm not at all, you can go to MyPillow if you want to buy a pillow, but I want people to see the stories and
talk about your book too.
Yeah, my book that's coming out, it's called, What Are the Odds from Crack Addict to CEO? Yeah. And it's the book, God had me save stuff that proves each thing in the book, like, you know, whatever the things that happen, because as they were happening, I go, wow, this is going to be amazing someday to show people. And you see all these miracles in the book. Wow, this is a one in a billion. This is a one in a million. You're going to go, wow, this couldn't have happened to you, but there's the proof. You know, you read that, and by the time you read the book, if you don't believe Jesus is real, you better reread it. And but that's going, you know, it's going to help so many people, give them the seeds of hope, and then they're going to drive them to this recovery network so they can see other people that made it through.
Yeah.
And then this is how we get out of this horrible crisis that is happening here with especially the opiate addiction. People are dying. Back in my day, you know, they're dying now. I mean, it's like, you know, everyone knows someone that close to them that has died, or, you know, it's getting to that way, or they know a neighbor or someone that's tragically died.
Yeah.
And, but we also now, at least I'm going to bring that to people, these stories of hope where they can go, you know, because not everybody knows the stories of hope. And I'm taking shame. It's another thing too. Take shame out of addiction. They're not bad people. You need to take the shame out of it. You're not going to get trusted when you come out of treatment, and that's the one people don't get to. Oh, I'm healed. You know what? People don't trust.
Right.
So you better have something. You better have somebody like Jesus when you get out of there.
Yeah.
But people don't. You can't expect it. But you don't have to be ashamed either. So even families get ashamed of the ones that did make it through. They're going, well, how's Johnny doing? Well, you know, yeah, he's fine. You know, he had a little problem and he's over it. You know, well, really? I went public with mine. Back in the day, they go, whatever you do, don't say that. Just say you had a little addiction problem. I went right on Nash TV and said, I was a crack cocaine addict. Crack, not cocaine. Cocaine was first, crack was second.
Right.
You know, you know, no shame in that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't change the past. I can only pray for the future.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Mike Lindell. I have a feeling Mike and I could have chatted for several hours. He has so many incredible stories about life and family and business. To me, this testimony that Mike gave us illustrates the power that we have to speak into other people's lives. Remember, he said that he had people calling him in the middle of the night after those infomercials were airing on cable channel 6 in the Twin Cities. And other people were being led to call Mike and almost speak this platform, this call from God, into fruition. So never hold back an encouraging word from someone. Don't ever underestimate the power you have to give someone a positive word. I've heard so many stories of people over the years that have been impacted by someone giving them a simple word of truth. And as believers, we have that truth. So let's pass that along. And when it came to impact, Mike said, have passion, believe in yourself. No doubt Mike has passion for pillows, but also for his faith and for people as well. Mike, thanks so much for doing the show with me today. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening today. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, just visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta, your host. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.